Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 43, the episode in which, yet again, I don't really get a whole lot done. A little bit, here and there. This really should be called the Off Kilter Quilt and Farm Report. This week, I give you a long garden report and one of the quilt diaries. I'm sorry this is coming late. I'm not really on a schedule right now, and I need to get on a schedule, and I would have been posting this earlier or recording it earlier, but I kind of was a little bit under the weather last week. Nothing terrible, but just enough to kind of feel funky, and it's just kind of a funky week. It got really hot. It got like 95 degrees, which is very hot for this time of year. I'm really hoping, sometimes this happens, you get a surge of late May heat, and then things calm down, and it's like 85 for much of June. And 85, as long as the humidity is not too terrible, is not bad at all. And in some ways, it's very nice. But 95 pretty much is horrible no matter how you cut it. Not to complain about the weather, because that would be boring. I'm sitting on my porch. You could probably hear the birds and probably the air conditioning because it is, well, hot. Let me see. I have notes. Let me click onto my notes. I wanted to tell you a little bit, update you on my sampler quilt, which I am on, I think, block 4 or 5. So I, this week, completed the sawtooth block. Thought I was doing the Dutchman's puzzle, but I was getting ahead of myself. So I did the sawtooth, and I talk about that a little later on in the second quilt diary. One of the things, looking at the completed blocks, I realized, first of all, it's funny, because, you know, you pick out the fabrics for these blocks, and you're trying, you know, and I was instructed by Jay to pick out, I think, like 8 to 10 different fabrics. And if you've been listening for a while, you went through with me on that journey of getting colors and trying to balance things out, which I'm not sure I did a very great job of. And now looking at the, I think, 4 blocks I have, I'm seeing, one, that this is becoming a very orange and pink quilt, which I don't think was my intention. It's also, I need to get some more dark stuff in there. It's become a very light-toned, light-hued. Which is it? It's tone, hue, color, value, whatever it is. It's very light, and I need some more contrast, and I need on the next few blocks to work on that. The sawtooth block does have some dark tooths. Some dark teeth in it. So I hope that's going to help. But that's something I need to focus on. The sawtooth, I'm going to do it again. I have already redone it some, and I just need to keep practicing. Triangles are tough. They are funky. You know, it's not that they're not doable. They are doable. And I think I'm contradicting things I've said earlier about, they're not so tough. They're not so bad. But on the, maybe it's just doing that. Maybe it's something about the flying geese units. I don't know, but I felt like I had a hard time with accuracy this time and had a little harder time controlling those rascally, uncontrollable triangles as I was sewing them. So I need more practice. Got to practice with the triangles. Got so many great comments. By the way, I'm going to try this Sunday. I should tell you, Sunday, May 29th. I'm going to post this afternoon, and that will give you a couple days if you happen to download it right away, to enter the giveaway, the podcastiversary giveaway, and I will do the drawing. I guess I'll do it on June 1st. So you have through May 31st to sign up. A lot of people signed up for both the DVD and the book. I give a review of the DVD in the first quilt diary this episode. Loved it, loved it, loved it. So I hope you win it if you signed up for it. If you didn't sign up for it, can't win it. So go ahead and sign up for it. Even if you've already commented and said, well, I just want to be entered for the book, rethink, come back, and sign up for the DVD too. It's really quite fabulous. I got a lot of good input on Razzle Dazzle, whether or not to have sashing. The consensus is no sashing. I think Debbie had a good suggestion, which is to go ahead and maybe lay it out with some thin, dark, maybe dark blue. I don't know if she said dark blue, but some thin, dark sashing. Which I might do. I tend to agree with the no sashing consensus primarily. Well, there are two reasons. One, I'm really lazy, and so to do sashing would be that extra step. But the other is that the quilt blocks, there's an internal or secondary pattern that would be interrupted or disrupted by sashing. So I may mess around a little bit Debbie, whether or not I end up doing that and taking a picture and posting the picture, I don't know. It's a great idea. Whether or not I will do it is a whole nother can of worms. But thank you for that suggestion. From Rhonda, if you sash it, the blocks are going to have to lean more on themselves, whereas without sashing, they are able to play with each other and lean on each other. I like that idea of the blocks leaning on each other, as you know, to support one another and just be good friends with each other. While those colors, this is back to Rhonda, while those colors are quite hot, they play well together. I do like the idea of a black border, if only a thin one, to give a place for the eye to stop. Of course, I am not sure if my typed words make any sense at all. They do, Rhonda. In parentheses, she says, they may simply confirm my craziness, but these are my thoughts, which you asked for, by the way. Yes, I did, and they are good thoughts. And Rhonda, I believe this is Quilter in the Gap. Rhonda, I hope you guys are listening to Quilter in the Gap. It is a delightful new podcast. I'm really enjoying Rhonda. Birgit says, I think it would be a wonderful quilt without sashing. For the border, I would choose black or very dark blue. In my fantasy, it would look like the rest of a fire in the night. You can see the blaze flicker and also some charred wood, which I thought was just lovely. I thought it was a very poetic comment. Birgit, thank you so much. Got some reading suggestions, book suggestions. Please keep these coming in, by the way. Charlotte writes, for beach reading, I can't resist suggesting Geraldine Brooks' new novel, Caleb's Crossing. She writes so beautifully of the Atlantic coast in Massachusetts during the 1600s. I'm not at all a historical fiction reader, but every book she writes hooks me in and transports me to a new world with characters and language that holds me to the end. Can you tell I love this book? I'm not done with it yet, but I literally cannot wait to read it every evening. That is quite a recommendation, and I have to say, the only Geraldine Brooks novel I've read is March, and I loved it. And I've been meaning to read, is it People of the Book? And I heard Geraldine Brooks on, I think I heard her on the Diane Reeves show, and that was so interesting. She just seems wonderful, so thank you for the recommendation, Charlotte. I'm going to put that one on my to-be-read pile. Sherry D. says, I can't believe I missed this topic. I totally agree with Marie Bostwick's books. And that reminds me, by the way, I think it's Jackie at Jackie's Quilting Corner. I believe in her current episode, I haven't listened to it yet, but there was something posted to the Quiltcast Supergroup site that she has an interview with Marie Bostwick. Let's check that out. And Sherry recommends Marie Bostwick. Also, Terry Thayer or Thayer, it's T-H-A-Y-E-R. Terry is T-E-R-R-I. Her books, it looks like it's a mystery series. I checked it out on Amazon.com. A couple of the titles include Ocean Waves and Wild Goose Chase. And she's not the only person who mentioned Terry Thayer. And it's possible that Jay did too. And Sherry says, she also recommends Nancy Thayer. She writes, I'm in my mid-50s, and whoops, I just lost the comment. I'm in my mid-50s, and my favorite author is Nancy Thayer and her Hot Flash Club series. Well, I'm turning 47 tomorrow. I probably should pick that up, too. Anyway, so she said she found Nancy Thayer searching for books by Terry Thayer, and the two combined remind me of Marie Bostwick's books. And she says, I have talked to Marie on the phone and via email, and she is a super nice person. For that matter, both Terry and Nancy have exchanged emails with me in the past, and they are gracious ladies as well. Well, let us support gracious and nice authors. So there's some folks for you to look up. Nancy Thayer, Terry Thayer, and Geraldine Brooks' new novel. Let's see. Got a good suggestion from Sandy Vanya. Since I detest marking the quilt top with quilting lines, I use white contact paper to cut out my quilting stencils. If it is like your ginkgo leaf, then I would cut out the leaf and place the contact paper where I wanted to quilt and quilt around it. I love doing it this way, and I'm even doing a Baptist fan quilting pattern this way, although it did take me a while to figure out how to do that. That's a great suggestion, and I had read something similar to that in a magazine recently, and that is something I may really like to give a try to. Over on Podbean, I heard from Rhonda, Cindy, and Kelly the Fifth. Cindy wondered why Wendell Berry hadn't won the Nobel Prize yet, and I think that is a most excellent question. I had never thought about that until I got Cynthia's comment, and then as soon as I did, I'm like, why? Yes, he should win the Nobel Prize. She brought this up because I mentioned, I think, last episode that I have asked for the new Windleberry book for my birthday. It's a book about William Carlos Williams. Windleberry is absolutely one of my favorite writers. He writes poetry and essays and fiction. And if you're looking for a wonderful novel to read, I would suggest Jaber Crow by Windleberry and also Hannah Coulter. He has a, I wouldn't call it a series, but a group of books which are all set in a fictional Kentucky town called Port William. And they're beautiful. He's a beautiful writer. So if you're looking for fiction to read this summer, I would really recommend Windleberry. And I would really start with Hannah Coulter or Jaber Crow. Maybe Hannah Coulter. That's a good, it's interesting. It's interesting to read a book about a woman written by a man, and I think he pulls it off. Kelly V, also known as Kelly the Fifth, wrote, I was at a quilt retreat last November, and one of the quilters was making a memory quilt for a friend. He was using the friend's denim jeans, quite a collection. One thing I really liked was that he kept pockets intact on some of the cut-up pieces so that his friend could put pictures, notes, stuff into the pockets. I think a denim quilt would be beautiful. And Kelly is writing in response to the fact that I have saved all these jeans over the years and want to cut them into strips and make quilts. And I think it would be too, Kelly. I think about it all the not all the time. I'm obsessed with the jean quilt. I'm not, but I do when I imagine it, when I think about it, I really do think it would be pretty. So that's something to look forward to and to, yeah, just keeping that on my list. I want to say thanks to Noni, Scoo Quilt, Peg S, Anne McGee, Knit Wish, Mary Sarah, Tammy in Denver, Teresa, Katie, Robin, Janet, Dorothy, Jay, Janine, and Sue S for your comments. I really appreciate everyone who took the time to stop by. I am going to try to take a picture of my sawtooth block sometime today and post it up over at the WordPress site, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I don't know if I'll, I think I'm going to go ahead and post this right away as soon as I finish recording it, which I'm going to do here in just a minute. I need to go get ready. My friends Amy and Danielle are taking me out for my birthday, which is tomorrow. And these are my two closest friends here. And we take each other out on our birthdays. We're doing that and then going to see Bridesmaids, which I've heard is very funny, although a little bit crass at the beginning. That's okay. I can live with that. I have two boys. I'm up for it. I think that's it for this week. I'm sure there are things that I'm forgetting, but you know, I just want to get this up. And again, going to try to get on a regular schedule. We'll see how the summer treats us. I hope that so far it is treating you well. I know it's still really officially spring. And for those of you who are listening in Australia, and I know there are a couple of you, thank you very much. It is actually heading into deepest, darkest winter. I guess that's where you guys are just exactly opposite of us. So you're finishing up your fall and heading into winter. So you don't have to worry about the heat at all. But stay warm down there. The only other thing I wanted to tell you that has nothing to do with quilting, and by the way, you'll find a lot in this episode that has nothing to do with quilting. I'm very excited, though. Next Saturday, I'm going to go to Mount Airy. Now, if you watched Andy Griffith, you know that Mount Airy is where Mayberry was actually... Mayberry was a fictional Mount Airy, and they refer to Mount Airy in the show, I do believe. Anyway, I'm going there because it's their annual Fiddler's Convention. My friend Melissa, who I talk about later in the podcast, she's a new friend of mine. Her husband is a bluegrass fiddler. He is going to go camp the whole weekend, which a lot of people do, but Melissa is just going up for the day, and she invited me to come with her. I'm going to take my fiddle, but I don't know if I'm going to take my fiddle out of its case because I'm not a good fiddler player. I'm not even a good fiddler talker. I'm not a good fiddler. And I feel shy about playing with other people, but I am so excited about going to this convention, Fiddler's Gathering. And I just wanted to share that. I wanted to share my excitement with you. I talk a lot, and especially in the second quilt diary, talk a lot about being excited about so many things. And that's good because as I look down the barrel of a really long summer with my children, there's some things I'm less excited about, so it's good to start out feeling, yes, Fiddler's Convention in Mount Airy, life is good, gonna make a lot of quilts, everything's just kosher and copacetic. All right, I'm rambling now, I'm going to stop rambling, and I'm going to let you get on with the show. Bye. Quilt Diary, Day 1, It's very late. It's like 11 o'clock on Friday night, May 20th, and I just finished watching Stitched, and I thought I better get my impressions down on audio before I forget them, which I could do. I really enjoyed it. I really hope you signed up for the giveaway, because it was a lot of fun. We follow Carol Breyer Follert, Hollis Shatilin, and Randall Cook on their way to Houston, the most recent Houston, 2010. I kept looking for pictures of Sandy. Really interesting. You know, you don't know until you watch it that you can really enjoy watching somebody sew. There wasn't a lot of sewing footage, but every time they would show someone doing like the machine quilting, you know, it's like, oh, that's so cool. I could just watch the machine quilt forever. Very, very fun. It was interesting, too, because the quilters that the documentary followed are art quilters, and the big winners at the 2010 show were traditional quilters, and you felt some tension about that. And the film played that up a bit. Some interviews done with the traditional quilters, hand quilters, non-art quilters, and they were all, it just happened to be like 99 years old and Southern and really kind of mad about art quilts. The interesting thing for me, one of the interesting things for me, was the impression I came away with of Hollis Shatilin. Now, you may recall in Quilting for the Rest of Us in the fall, Sandy went to Houston and she interviewed Hollis. Now, the interview for me, it was a good interview. You know Sandy, she's a good interviewer. But I think I didn't really know much about Hollis Shatilin. I knew that she was an art quilter, and I think I'd seen some of her quilts. She has an amazing quilt with Bishop Tutu on it, for instance, which actually hung in Duke Chapel, which is where I go to church. So I was familiar with her work, but I really imagined someone different. I mean, I really imagined, first of all, someone Southern. Hollis is just, you know, a typical Southern first name in its way. And so when Sandy interviewed her, it took me aback because her voice did not fit who I thought she was. I also thought she would be older. I don't know why. I don't know why I had these visions in my head of who she was. And when Sandy interviewed her, she seemed a bit ethereal to me in a way. I would say off-putting is too strong of a word, but it just didn't fit my notions of who she was. Watching this documentary and seeing her, it grounded her for me much more. And I just found myself really liking her a lot. I definitely am going to go back and listen to that interview again. And her quilts are beautiful. You know, she paints her quilts. I thought she appliqued them. But it's not applique, it's paint. But they're incredible. I would love to just go see a show of her work. Just amazing. So a very enjoyable documentary, 72 minutes long. So, you know, I watched and I quilted a little bit, hand quilted a little bit, and during parts where I didn't feel like I needed to give the visuals my full attention. But just a lot of fun, and you will, if you watch it, you will see yourself in it, definitely, and just kind of the fun of big quilt shows and beautiful quilts and people, obviously, you know, with the competition part of it, getting invested in the competition. One of the beautiful things right at the end, gosh, I don't want to give anything away, but how can I be giving this away since it's already known, but Hollis Shatilin's quilt called Innocence did not win a judge's prize, which amazes me because it's so gorgeous and so intricate, but it didn't, but it won the viewer's prize. So it won the hearts of the people who came to the show, and I'll be interested if Sandy will tell me whether or not, which quilt she voted for, and if she voted for Innocence. Beautiful quilt. So anyway, a lot of fun. So, you know, for whoever wins it in the giveaway, yay, you're going to enjoy it. And hopefully within 6 months or so, whenever it's off, you know, whenever, I mean, it's on DVD, but I guess whenever it's off the theater circuit, it will be available via Netflix for those of you who have Netflix. Or, you know, it's $20, so it's not that expensive to get for yourself, but very much worthwhile. And just fun for anyone who likes to quilt. There are even quilting songs. It's like Cindy Miller, the quilting singer, or something. That may not be her name, Kathy Miller, something like that. Quilting songs about Stash, which cracked me up. But, you know, so just I think anyone who listens to quilt podcasts, I think, would really enjoy this movie. So that is my review. Jack needs to get to my computer because he has to download some car talk for his iPod, so he has something to listen to as he drifts off into sleep. So that's it for now. Quilt Diary Day 2. Well, it's a week later. I can't believe it. It's Friday, May 27th. It's about 11 in the morning, and I'm sitting on my porch again. But now you will hear birds instead of crickets. I haven't listened to what I recorded last week, so I don't know if you can hear crickets or not. You might be able to, but probably not, hear the locusts. We have locusts now. I meant to look up before I started recording to see if they're 17-year locusts, or someone told me they might be 7-year locusts. They're different locusts for different years. I don't know. But it's funny. It's just this sort of science fiction kind of humming that goes on all the time. I don't know how long it will last. I haven't seen a lot of locust carcasses yet, but I'm sure I will. I have not recorded all week because I just haven't felt well. Won't dwell on it. Just a little bug. Mostly felt tired and headachy. And today I woke up and I didn't have a headache and I was so happy. That's the good thing about when you have bugs. When they go away, you're like, oh, no headache. This is so good. So, and I actually did some quilting. I worked on my sawtooth star. I've been saying that, and next up on my sampler that I'm doing with Jay was the Dutchman's puzzle, but that was incorrect. We had not talked about that yet. And in fact, what Jay and I last spoke about before I went off to Chicago was the sawtooth star. So I came back and we chatted last Saturday and went over the sawtooth star again because I can always use a refresher course and have plans to soon discuss the Dutchman's puzzle. I don't know if we will this weekend. Being feeling kind of down and out for the week, I didn't get a lot done and now I'm feeling behind just on things like the garden and the house. There's a lot of cleaning that needs to be done and that sort of thing. I did some hand quilting this week and I did work on the sawtooth star, and I want to tell you I'm very, very proud of myself because I made the flying geese units for the sawtooth star, and when you finish with them, they should be 3.5 by 6.5. That should be rectangles. And when two of the ones when I finished were that. But two were a little small. They were about 3 and, I don't know, they were shy. They were a little bit shy of 3.5 inches wide. And in the past, I would have said, well, we'll work around it. You know, I'll figure something out. It might have been a quarter inch shy. And this time I said, no, we're not working around it. We're going to do it again, and we're going to get it right. And that, for me, ladies, that's a step in the right direction. Because I think that in the past, I've just not had faith that if I redid the unit, that I would get it right. So why try? But now I'm feeling more confidence in my abilities. And so I feel like if I make one more effort, I will get the unit, the goose unit, where I want it. So I haven't actually redone it yet, but I will. I shall overcome the flying goose unit that is too narrow. So that's really all my quilting news for the week. It's not much. I know, it's really kind of pathetic, but I will just have loads and loads because coming up, because my children get out of school on Tuesday. They actually have a half day today. I have to go get Will in about 15 minutes. And then Monday off for Memorial Day, also my birthday, and then they go Tuesday for a half day. This is how we always end up the school year with like this string of half days and weird schedules. And I just wish they would get it over with. I feel like the school just strings us along. And I can't believe we're done May 31st. And then we've got 11 weeks to fill. It's really crazy. My friends in the UK are like, you guys are nuts the way you do summer vacation. Why not have longer breaks like at Christmas and Easter and shorten up the summer break. And I agree. I think year-round schools are fabulous. But I also just like the idea of, instead of having the 11-week summer break, why not have 4 weeks of Christmas and 2 weeks in the spring and a week break in the fall, and then just go, you know, have a 7-week. I don't know if that all adds up, but it's close enough. But have a 7-week summer. That's enough. That's just good. We tend to fall apart on week 5. We do really well for the first few weeks. We go to the beach. We're going to Ocracoke this year, which should be very fun and something new and different. And that's always a good time. And the pool will feel fresh and wonderful for the first month. I actually hate the pool, but it'll feel fresh and wonderful to the boys, so that will be good. And then about July 7th, we'll just start, you know, yelling at each other a lot. I'm trying to circumvent this. I have plans. It's going to be the summer of pie. That's the first thing, because Jack is making a pie every week. And now we've done the, he's done, not we, he has made the black bottom pie, a double apple pie, and this week, from the latest Martha Stewart Living, he made the strawberry lemonade pie with a graham cracker crust, and he made the crust, and it was delicious. It was a really good pie. I'm trying not to eat much sugar, so I just have little slivers of pie, and these pies are so sweet that a little sliver will do you. So it'll be summer of pie. I'm going to get Will doing some cooking and baking as well, which he enjoys. Jack's going to be cooking a meal once a week. I think if we orient everything around making food, it'll be good, because, you know, the boys like food, especially if it has lots of sugar in it. So that's what I'm hoping. There will be summer of pie and good food and quilting. And I had this hope last summer, and sometimes the summer just gets away from you. But I have a number of projects to work on, as we know, and so that is my big hope, that I will make a lot of quilting progress and really focus on that. I have to work on a revision. I'm bummed about this. I just got notes back from my editor, and I was hoping that we were pretty close to done on the book that I'm working on, and she wants another draft. It's not like a complete rewrite. In fact, it's not rewriting at all. She just wants more scenes. She wants me to go further into depth. And so I'll have that done in the next few weeks, but that's kind of throwing me off my stride a little bit. I don't know what else we'll do. We'll survive. We'll survive the summer, but I do hope that I will make quilts and have lots to talk to you about over the course of the summer. One other thing I want to share that has nothing to do with quilting, but I just want to share because another thing I'm proud of. Yesterday I learned how to make and can strawberry jam. I've always wanted to can and preserve food. I've always loved that idea, but I have shied away from it because, quite frankly, I'm a messy person, and I'm just always been convinced that, well, I would kill my family with botulism. But slowly, I've made a new friend. She's so lovely. Her name is Melissa. She's one of my younger friends. She's 31. I seem to have this whole new posse of friends in their early 30s, which is interesting. Most of it through Will being in second grade. So I had Will when I was 38, you know, and he's got all these friends whose mom had their 8-year-olds when they were 24. So I got a lot of young friends. Melissa's actually not one of those young friends, but that explains part why I have this posse of 30-year-old friends, which is not good as your knees are kind of going. I mean, it is good because they're delightful and wonderful people, but, you know, like my friend Sarah, Gavin's mom, she runs marathons. At this point, I can barely walk across the room. That's not true. Of course I. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be one of those 50-year-olds who takes up marathon running. But there's something about being friends with someone who can run a marathon it's dispiriting in its way, but she's wonderful and full of vim and vigor, and it's good to have friends who are full of vim and vigor. And Melissa is one of my friends who is full of vim and vigor, and I went over to her house yesterday, and she has a pressure cooker / canner, and she showed me how to make strawberry jam, and I helped, and then she showed me how to can it, and I worked with her, and we put up many little half-pint jars of strawberry jam. I haven't actually tried it yet. We tried it before we canned it, and it was quite delicious. I haven't tried it yet. It's sitting on the counter setting. But I'm very excited, and she says she's going to teach me how to canned green beans, which are scarier because they're low acid, and that's where you get into your botulism territory with the low acid vegetables. But she swears she does it, and her mother-in-law taught her. Her mother-in-law's been canning for 50 years, and Melissa has not killed anyone yet with her green beans, so she insists that she can show me how to do it safely. And I've also signed up for a class through the Durham County Cooperative Extension Agency June 14th to take a canning safety class. So I've decided, see, this is where quilting has changed my life. See, I'm bringing it all around to quilting. Isn't this beautiful? There is a connection because for so long I thought I would never be able to make a quilt. And I kind of thought, no, that's just too bad, too sad. You can't do it. And now I can make a quilt. And it took a while, and of course with making quilts, you rarely kill anyone with your quilts, where you could kill someone with a can of beans if you weren't careful. But you understand, it's like I tried something new that I thought I could never do, that I always wanted to do, and I was successful. So I've decided with canning, I've always wanted to do it. I have a teacher in Melissa, and I'm also going to take a class with an official county extension agent, and I can do it. I can sterilize my kitchen and be very careful and follow directions and can beans. And I'm excited. And I think it's because I conquered quilting. Is quilting ever conquered? I don't think so. But, you know, because I realized that there are things that I can do that I never thought I could. And so I feel I can can a green bean. And I'm excited about it. And it was fun being at Melissa's because she's got all these, you know, shelves filled with all her canned beans and pickles and preserves and salsas. And it just feels really Little House on the Prairie in just the coolest way. Although I don't recall them canning Little House on the Prairie, but you know what I mean. It feels just wonderful. So I'm really excited that I have made strawberry jam. And now I'm actually what I'm looking at, not literally, right now I'm looking at my hummingbird feeder, and we've seen many hummingbirds now over the last week there, very exciting. But around the corner of my house there are two large fig trees that the people who owned the house before us planted, and we have felt extremely guilty for the last 4 years because we have had no idea what to do with the figs. I made a fig tart once, and that was good. And I've always meant to go online and find a recipe for real fig Newtons made with figs. And maybe this will be the summer. But you know what I think sounds good? Fig preserves. I'm just all over that action. So if we can get to the figs before the birds get to the figs this year, we will have fig preserves. And I'm very, very excited about that. We're also, by the way, just a little garden update, since I have so little quilty news to tell you, have two blueberry bushes now growing in pots. I bought one. I was at the farmer's market, and I was buying Sun Gold cherry tomatoes, which I love, and we eat like candy in the summer, and we didn't have our plants. So I went to a guy at the farmer's market I know who I buy my plants from, and so I bought some from him, and he had a pretty little blueberry bush with little tiny blueberries on it. I'm like, oh, I want that. So I got it, and I brought it home, and the man just got irritated with me. He's like, you know, I've been studying up on this. I'm planning to do blueberries next year in the garden, and you know, you can't just grow one. You have to have a bunch and all this stuff, da-da-da. So I'm like, but it was so cute. I had to buy it. It was calling to me. It was saying, come buy me. Bring me home. So I thought, well, I'm obviously not going to get the man to dig up any holes for me. So I went and got a big pot, and I put it in the pot. And I also watched a lot of YouTube videos about putting blueberry plants in pots. And then I went to Lowe's, and I bought another blueberry plant for about $9. And I put that in a pot, too. So you need different kinds of blueberry bushes. Apparently, you really need at least two, and preferably three or four. And they need to be different kinds and different. You need ones that bloom in the early summer and ones that bloom later, all this stuff. There's just all this blueberry knowledge that I did not have when I made my impulse purchase of my little blueberry bush. But I'll let you know. I'll keep you informed. I just pulled out our sweet pea plants, which did fine. And next year we're going to plant them much earlier and plant a lot more. Because they were really good, but we never got enough at one time to even make a meal. So we just ate them for snack, which is really fun, and they're very tasty. And I have put peppers in their place, just green and red peppers, I love hot peppers for how they look, but I can't eat really hot food. I feel like such a wimp. You know, I'm not a hot food person. I would love to be, but I find it really so physically uncomfortable. And I think, why am I doing this? So I just don't. So no hot peppers, just green and red peppers. I have some strawberry plants in a pot that just are going wild. Have produced a couple flowers that I picked off as per directed, and waiting to see some more flowers. Lots of tomatoes. We have 16 tomato plants. We've got garlic, which I think is getting very close. The tops are starting to brown. The shoots are starting to brown. And my winter wheat, I think, is very close to picking. We have like a tiny, like 2x2 plot of winter wheat that we just grew for fun. And it grew, and it's beautiful, and it's getting very brown. And I think I think we'll probably get about a half a cup's worth of flour out of it. But it was fun, and it's an experiment, and who knows, maybe we'll mess around and grow more at another time. I don't know. But that's my garden update, and lots of flowers growing, and lots of basil. In fact, I need to go pick some basil before it rains to make some pesto. You know, summer is fun. Summer food is fun. This is going to be, like I said, summer of pie, summer of boys and food. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to do a lot of cooking and canning, and I'm also going to be making lots of spaghetti sauce out of my garden and freezing it and having lots of homemade spaghetti sauce over the course of the year. I'm just homestead woman. What can I say? All right, I need to go pick up Will. And then if I have a chance this afternoon, I will record the beginning of this podcast and get it posted. I don't know if I'll have any pictures. I very well may not. That's too much pressure for me. I'll never get a podcast out if each episode depends on me taking pictures. But so that is it for now. I hope you have a great week. I hope I will figure out I will get on a steady, regular schedule. I keep meaning to, and life just keeps getting in my way. But at least I'm going to keep trying to post at least once a week. So I'll try to do that much for you. Let me hear from you. I'm always happy to get your comments. And in case I forget to put the information up front, email me at fdowell@mindspring.com. Or come by one of the blogs. There's the Podbean blog, which is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And then there's the WordPress blog, and that is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. And feel free to leave an iTunes review. As you know, having heard so many times, we podcasters love them. So have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.